Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this honor to be able to be here today and all my children here, Father. And I just thank you, Lord, for all my grandchildren and my son-in-laws. And I thank you, Lord, for all this that you have called us to, the ministry of the gospel. Thank you for the privilege to be able to preach your truth in Jesus' name. And Father, I give you all the glory. Holy Spirit, you're here to teach us and lead us into all truth. I thank you for the anointing you have placed upon me to speak your word in Jesus' name. I count it as an honor. And God, I thank you for being a mother to me and a father to me. You mothered me, Father, and you fathered me. And I just thank you, Lord, for being my God, my Savior, my soon coming King. And I love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Okay, let's raise our Bible. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the Bible says that I am. I can do what the Bible says I can do. I'm a hearer of the word, but not only a hearer, I am a doer, and I will do the word in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, husband. I love my husband. And it's 52 years coming up. Yes. And that's a blessing. See, and so, you know, first 10 years of our marriage was very interesting, to say the least. But thank God for his mercy, his grace. Okay, so I'm going to do a little review, but I'm going to give you this. The Bible says declaring the end from the beginning. So I'm going to give you two things that's at the very end of my notes, okay? And I just want to give this to bless the mothers. I know it is Mother's Day, but my message is for mothers and fathers, okay? But I do want to just center in on the mothers just very quickly. In Lamentations 2:19, it says, pour out your heart like water before the face or the presence of the Lord. Lift your hands towards him for the life of your young children. I say that I don't care if they're young or old. Mothers, continue to pray for your children. I pray for my children. I pray for my grandchildren, all of them. I pray for them. I thank God for the angels encamped around them as they go to these crazy schools. And God is faithful to his word. So we are to continue to pray for our children. Mothers, don't stop. I don't care if they're 60 years old. Keep praying for them. Don't stop. And then, of course, there's a woman in the Bible named Hannah. It's a long story. But she didn't have a child. She wanted a child. So she prayed to God, asking for a son. And God answered her prayers, and she dedicated that son back to the Lord. That's in 1 Samuel 1, and you could just read the whole chapter, okay? Say a big amen. Okay, I just wanted to give you something for Mother's Day real quick. Now, this is for everybody. Okay, so now we're going to review some of the things that I taught last time that we were together. It's going to be a very quick review, so I don't keep you here, so I'm not going to go into, you know, trying to teach those same scriptures that I taught before. But I want to also give you three things that are enemies to your prayer life. And then I'm going to give you prayers that get results. So I will give you three things that you can do to get results when you pray. Okay? And then I'm going to do something a little different today. I'm going to copy my husband on something, so some of you guys know what that would mean. So let's just do a quick review. Jesus said this. Jesus had a connection. This is titled The Secret Place. Let me say this. Let me back up a little bit. I encouraged you to go and find a secret place in your home. Did anyone do that? Because we're not just good. We're not just a hearer of the word. We need to become a doer of the word. Come on, say, I'm not only a hearer of the word of God, but I promise today, Father, that I will become a doer of what I hear. So you're not here just to hear a cute little sermonette. We're here to be instructed by the Spirit of the living God and be counseled by him. I'm telling you the truth. You will not need a counselor if you do it God's way and apply the word of God to your life. Yeah, there's times we should talk to people, you know, that know God more than we know God, and that's okay. But ultimately, God said in his word, he's a wonderful counselor. So you have to see these sessions, church sessions, as we come together as a counseling session. And not only that, but as a time for God to speak to your spirit, man, your heart. So open up your heart to receive it, okay, that God has for you today. But Jesus stayed connected. Now, this is just a quick review of what I've already taught. Jesus stayed connected to God all the time. In fact, he said this in John 8:28, and he said, I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always, say always, for I always do those things that please him. See, and I want to get to a place like that in my life. I want to only do the things that will please the Lord. And Jesus was able to declare that. He was able to say that because he stayed connected in his secret place. And let me say this. I said, I'm going to backtrack. Now I'm going to backtrack for real. I mentioned that you should have a secret place in your home, and you should. But the Lord dropped something in my heart, and we'll see it, because Jesus, he was a master at this. His secret places became different places. Now, ultimately, you do need a quiet place in your home. I'm not subtracting that from you. You should have one. I have one. I have a place I go to. Well, and let me explain. It's in the same room. But over here, I have my work desk, and over here, I have my prayer desk. And so I'll turn the lights off on this section of the room, and I'll turn my little light on this section of the room, and it's just my prayer area, my study area, and the Lord. I have all my study books and the Bible and everything and my blankets and all the stuff that I need to connect with my Father in my secret place. But Jesus was a master at having secret places. In fact, the Bible said that, and I'll give you this, I'm going to give you a couple of things, that, let me give you this. Let me hold back. Hold on for a second. That he prayed all night. He would go to the mountain, a mountain, and he would pray all night. Now, one particular time that he prayed all night, the next day, the Bible said, he chose his disciples. And think about it. So that was considered his secret place, that he connected with God the Father, and then he was able to go the next day to pick out his leadership. Right. And I wrote this down. How many things have we done without praying first? And then I wrote this down. First pray. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, first pray. Say, first pray. Say, first pray. How many times have we messed up or blew it? How many times did something didn't work? And if you backtrack in your own mind and your own life, you say, did I really pray about that? Uh-huh. See, first pray. And Jesus was, like I said, he was a master at praying before he did anything. And think about it. It says, he said this, for I always do those things that please God the Father. He was able to please God the Father. Come on, survey your life real quick. Do you always please God? See, and if we don't in certain areas, that's because we're not connected to God in that area. We haven't prayed. We haven't laid that out before the Lord. So God was able to pick his leadership, people that followed him because he prayed. He went to his secret place. He went to that particular mountain. The Bible says, whatever you sow in the flesh, you'll reap corruption. And whatever you sow in the spirit, you will reap everlasting life. I submit to you that when you pray, you're sowing in the spirit. And the Bible says, when you sow in the spirit, you'll reap everlasting life. That means you're going to have life in whatever it is that you're sowing in prayer, that you're going to reap life in that area. You know, I looked around a little bit in this, and I surveyed the church a little bit this morning, and I looked at faces of different ones. I'm not going to call you out, of course, but I looked at faces, and I saw unhappy faces on many faces. And I said, Lord, why is that? Why? They're in your church. They're in your house. Why is that? And we all go through some things. You know, like I said, I went through almost 7 years of a very interesting journey, a part of journey that I'm writing down for to be a part of Pastor Shorter's book. And so we do go through things, but I remember also going through these things. I would cry 1 minute, and then the next minute I was up here preaching. Sometimes I was crying on the way to church, and then I was up here preaching. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. You didn't know it. I could tell the story now. You didn't know it. And I looked at the faces, and I said, Lord, why is that? He said, because they're not praying. They're not giving these things to me. And then the Lord, when I was going through that, and I would cry, and then I come preach, and cry, and come preach, the Lord said, Kathy, what you need to do, you have to thank me for every little step, every little victory, every little thing that you see. And then when I start thanking God for every little victory, I mean just every little thing that Pastor Short would say, I said, Lord, thank you. He would say, I want to eat today. I said, thank you, Lord. Praise God. He said, if you can just start rejoicing in the progress, and that's what you should do with some of the faces I saw. You should thank God that you're even alive today. That's something to put a smile on your face, that you're alive. You have another opportunity to win in life. Amen? And start thinking about it. Something that God has blessed you. Lord, thank you for the breath you've given me today. Anyway, I told you this is just a review and I don't want to stay on that. So whatever we sow in the spirit, we'll reap that. So when you're praying, you're sowing in the spirit and you'll reap life. Amen? And then think about it. These are just times that Jesus prayed because he was a master at praying. And he prayed and think about it. Food multiplied. Yeah. And it said that what wasn't enough, his disciple says, we don't have enough. It multiplied because what? God gave thanks to the Father for what was not enough. And we should take what is not enough in our life, and instead of complaining and moaning and groaning, we should say, thank you, Lord, for this that you have provided for me. Amen. And you can include your finances, anything. Thank you, Lord, for what you've provided for me. So think about it. Jesus, a master prayer. I mean, he stayed connected to God and food multiplied. And not only that, at the end of his journey here on this earth, think about it. He went to the garden to pray. And he told his disciples, you go over there because guess what? This rock, I believe he used a rock, you know, to kneel down and to pray at that. That became his secret place. So a rock became his secret place. And he told his disciples, just you guys go over there and I'll go over here and I want to pray to Father, my Father. And he fell down and he prayed. And in that prayer, think about it, he was strengthened to the point where he was ready to sort of, you know, he was trying to plead with the Lord, really trying to, you know, say, can we try to do this a different kind of way, God? Can we try to, you know, just let this suffering, this cup, that's what he was talking about, this suffering, to take our sins, you know, on the cross for us. And he said, if there's any way that you can let this time pass by, but he was strengthened because he was praying. And he said, not my will, Lord, but allow your will to be done. See, when we pray, then we will get out of self. And it will no longer be a selfish life that we're living, but it will be the will of God. We want God's will to be done through our lives. Say a big amen. But then when he came back, he saw his disciples and they were asleep. And he rebuked them because they wasn't doing what he wanted them to do. And he told them, what? What is this? I could only imagine. What is this? He said, couldn't you not Couldn't you not tarry for 1 hour? Couldn't you not watch? And he said, and pray? Couldn't you not do this for just 1 hour? And he rebuked them. Why? Because he knew how important prayer is and was for them. And he said, think about it. He said, if you watch and pray, you will not enter into temptation. Didn't say you're not going to be tempted. You won't enter into that temptation. Because when you enter into a temptation, you will fail. And it will separate you from the presence of God. And then you have to, you know, you feel ashamed and you have to come back and apologize to people and all this kind of stuff, you know. You know, you should get to a point in life you're tired of apologizing. In fact, after I preached this 2 weeks ago, I went to God and I was praying and God said, okay. And I told the ladies this. I think we had this at the women's meeting. I said, God said, this is enough. Yeah, because we had a women's meeting after that time I taught this the first time. And I said, this is enough. So I brought it to the women. I said, God is tired of hearing you ask for forgiveness for the same old sins that you've done for years. Yeah. I said, tonight is the night he wants you free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And he don't want you to go back. And so we had a special deliverance time. And I had ladies come to me and talk to me, that Sunday, because women's meeting was Monday, and so that following Sunday. And Sunday, then they came to me, and one lady walked up to me, and she said, I'm free. And I'm saying, oh, good. She said, no, I'm free. She said, I'm totally free. And I remember God said that. He said, stop bringing the same old problems to me. And when he spoke that to me, I haven't since. I don't bring him stuff that I used to bring him. Now I just rejoice. And we spend too much of our prayer time asking God to forgive us of sins that he don't even remember anymore. And he told me, you're wasting your time with me, Kathy. Come on, it's time to move on from here. You done prayed about that and you asked for forgiveness. I've removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. It's over with, it's done with. I've forgiven you, I've separated that from you. Stop trying to remind me of stuff that I've forgotten about. So now we can spend, us ladies, those that receive that, we can spend time thanking the Lord. Amen. So Jesus was a master at praying. I wrote this down. There should never be any excuses not to obey God. And we won't have to have any excuses if we pray first. Say, pray first. Here's a nugget. Don't talk about what you feel, but talk about what you prayed. When we go around and say, well, this is how I feel, this is how I feel, this is how I feel, it's obvious you haven't prayed about it. Because notice, we don't usually say, this is what I prayed, this is what I prayed. We talk about our feelings a lot. And so we need to take those things and remember, don't talk about what you feel, talk about what you prayed. So take that little nugget. Here's another place in Luke 9 where Jesus' disciples, and let's turn there. That's one scripture we're going to read, okay? Let's see. How am I doing on time? Oh, okay. Okay, let's go quick because I have to give you enemies of your prayer life, and I need to give you prayers that get results, okay? All right, Luke 9. Here's another place that Jesus' disciples, they fell asleep. See, praying is boring to people, to many Christians, because they feel like I don't get results. Well, I'm gonna give you three things, three ways that you can guarantee you'll get results if you do these three things that I give you today. But we pray, we don't get results. Oh, prayer is boring. But also, think about what Jesus said. He said to his disciples when he came back and rebuked them, he said, while he was praying, fighting for his life, and they sleep. And he said,
He said, the spirit is willing,
but the flesh is weak. And see, we just need to know that. That's something we should tuck in our heart and just know that. And stop thinking we're Superman and Superwoman in the sense of, you know, we can just let our flesh just dictate everything we do. We're going to fail. But we need to know our flesh is weak. So, and the Lord showed me this, that when you, for instance, I'll use this example. You'll say, boy, I can't pass up that pie. Boy, that pie, I can't pass up that pie. See, you didn't self-talk to yourself. And so when you see it, then you go and you eat it. Because, see, your flesh is going to follow what you say. I don't know if you caught that one. But your flesh is going to follow what you say. So we have to be, and I think I'll come to that again, but we have to be very vigilant to know that our flesh is weak. And so when we want to pray, sometimes the enemy, and then it's just your flesh too, you notice how you'll just start thinking about other things. Yeah, you say, I'm going to dedicate this time to the Lord right now, and then your phone ring, or, you know, you all of a sudden somebody's knocking on the door, or just the distractions. And that's why God wants you to have a secret place where it's quiet and you can have intimate time with him. Say a big amen. So here in Luke, let's go quick now, because this is just a review. So in Luke chapter number 9, and it says here in verse number 28, it says, now it came to pass about 8 days, I'm going to read quick, after these sayings, that he took Peter, John, and James, some of his disciples, and went up on the mountain to pray. Say, pray. And he prayed, and the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening, all that kind of stuff, okay? And then in verse number 32, it says, but Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep. See, they had a challenge of disciplining their flesh. And when you're getting ready to go pray, you have to exude self-control. God has given you, do you know that's part of the fruit of the Spirit? We always want to pray in tongues and stuff, but we have the fruit of the Spirit that we need to let that fruit come out of us. And one of the attributes of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. So we have to discipline ourselves and say, no, okay, I know I'm thinking about going to make me a hot dog right now, but I'm going to pray. This is the time I'm going to pray right now, and I'm going to discipline my mind, and that hot dog is going to have to wait till another time. Because if not, your flesh is going to dictate and lead you and guide you, and the Holy Spirit will never do it. But it says, and they were heavy with sleep. Here they go again, sleeping. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and two men who stood with him. So here's this wonderful, you know, manifestation of the glory of God, and they sleep, okay? And then it says, then it happened after they were parting from him. Well, let me back up a little bit. It says, and then they were fully awake. I love what another translation said. I can't really remember now, but the Message Bible, you should read it out. The Message Bible was really good. It's like they all of a sudden just woke up, you know, but I'd like it out the Message Bible. I don't know if we had that. Do we have the Message Bible? Oh, yeah, they were rubbing their eyes, you know, trying to get the sleep out of their eyes. I mean, they must have really been, you know, counting sheep and then Z's. And I mean, they were really, I mean, they're rubbing their, thank you. I'd like that. I could just imagine that, you know, because I can visually see things, you know, and then I put them in OSPs. And I could just see them rubbing their eyes like, what's going on there? You know, I mean, here's the glory of God, and they're rubbing their eyes. They're just so out of touch. And you'll see how out of touch they are, because they're asleep. And sometimes we're out of touch because we're not praying. You know, sometimes we can't even get with the program at the church because we're not praying. Sometimes we're not hearing the word like we should, because the Holy Spirit is your teacher. And you're not even being taught really by the Holy Spirit because you're not praying.
When you come to church, before you come, you should say, Lord, help me, teach me by your Spirit.
Amen? Because ultimately, the Holy Spirit is your teacher. So listen, so they're rubbing their eyes. Then it says, we could go back to the New King. Okay. Then it happened as they were parting from him, and Peter said to Jesus, Master, is it good for us to be here? Now, he's asleep. He's waking up and, you know. Peter, you know, he's another. But like I said, this is just review. We need to get to the other part. And let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. See, that was a flesh move. Because he was asleep. Rubbing his eyes, waking up, trying to see what's going on. Now, he's asleep the whole time, basically. And then he's going to wake up, and then he's going to try to tell Jesus what he needs to do. Well, let's see what God tells him. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And it wasn't fearful of reverence. They were fearful. And when you're in fear, you're not in faith. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, shut up. This is my beloved son, hear him. So God had to come in a cloud and say, can you guys just be quiet, okay? Just, and I can just imagine, like, just go back to sleep. I mean, it's better for you to just stay asleep than to just talk silly. I mean, you know, think about it. They're rubbing their eyes. All of a sudden, they see something going on. Look like Moses, look like Elijah. And then he wants to give Jesus, you know, trying to instruct him on what to do next. See, I'm telling you folks, all of us, if we don't pray first, we're going to walk in the flesh and we're going to look stupid. Okay? And we'll stumble all over ourselves. And then we'll say, why did I do that? Well, you didn't pray first. Okay? And then it says, he said, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Say, hear him. Okay, let's get to the new stuff now. That was basically a review real quick. So enemies to your prayer life. Number one, your flesh and thoughts working together. And your thoughts will tell you, I'm too tired. And this is what I was trying to mention a little earlier, and I did. But you'll say, prayer is boring. When you self-talk like that, say, prayer is boring. You know, I don't love my husband. I hate going to work. When you self-talk, you will physically, your physical body will be affected. Think about it. So your self-talk, prayer's boring. So when you try to go to pray, then all of a sudden, you're sleepy, your physical body is affected. Oh, you weren't sleepy before until you start praying. Now you're yawning. Now you're hungry. Your physical body is affected, negative or positive, when you self-talk. If you tell yourself, I hate my husband, I don't really love my husband, then when you see him, you go, ah. But if you tell yourself, I love my husband, I thank God for that man, then when you see him, it's like, come on, give me a big hug. So watch yourself talk, because your physical body will be affected, good or bad. And I put this down for ladies, well, it's Mother's Day, let me say this. Come on, ladies, you know this. You look at those dishes in the sink, and you tell yourself, I am too tired to wash those dishes. I don't feel like washing those dishes. I don't want to wash those dishes. How about the clothes? I don't want to wash those clothes. I see that stack of clothes on. And usually what you do, you don't wash them. Because your physical body will follow your thoughts. And that's why when I first was married, my first year of marriage, a couple of months into it, I didn't wash dishes for 3 days. Okay. I done told on myself. I'm not like that anymore. I've changed because I talk to my dishes and I tell them how much I like them. No. Number two, enemies to your prayer life, unbelief. You tell yourself it doesn't work. Why pray? It's a waste of time. You know, unbelief. God is not going to do anything. Yeah, and prayer, see, and this is, let me say this too, going back to the first time I taught this. Prayer is not just getting on your knees. Yeah, you do need those times like that. But prayer is simply just talking to God. In fact, let's get there. So it doesn't work, why pray? So unbelief, it's not going to matter. Number three, disobedience. Disobedience will separate you from your prayer life when you disobey God. Little things. It'll separate you, because disobedience will separate you from prayer, which is really from the presence of God. So prayer is just a talk with the Lord. Like I say, yeah, you can get on your knees. You do that sometimes or whatever. You get in your secret place. But you're just talking to God. And that's why the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. Because it's just a lifestyle of just talking to God. And when I asked the Lord for that request to have all my children here today, you know, I just sort of asked him. I just talked to him and said, God, it sure would be nice to have all my kids here today. You know, and so God, the Lord wants you to know prayer is talking with the Lord. Having a regular connection with God, a consistent lifestyle with the Lord of just talking to him. Say a big amen. So disobedience can separate. Let's go to Genesis. Go there. Okay, I got 4 minutes, so let's go quick. Genesis. Remember about Adam and Eve, huh? Okay, so number three. So here they are, and they got deceived by the snake and all that. I know the woman then gave the husband the fruit. And then in verse 7 it says, in Genesis 3:7, said, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Disobedience will separate you from your prayer life. And then it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And in biblical times, that was the time that they would use the cool of the day in the evening, early evening, a time of reflection, that they would reflect over their lives and rest. And so this was the time that they had fellowship with Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, and they talked to him and they had fellowship with God, and this was just a normal pattern. So when they heard his voice, or think about his presence, disobedience will separate you from your prayer life, because your prayer life is the presence of God. Is getting into the presence of God. And so disobedience separated them. And when they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees. Did I say it right? Did I miss it? Oh, okay. From the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Because Adam, and I love the teaching, yes, God wanted Adam to locate himself. But also God said, you know, I miss my time with you. Now I'm going to do like Pastor Short. I'm going to let this song minister to you, so go ahead and play it. I'm being like my husband today. I want you to, if you want to close your eyes. But God said to Adam, Adam, where are you? We've met at this place. This is our meeting place, Adam. Where are you now? And he misses time with him.
Mary was just waiting in our old familiar place. An empty spot beside him where once I used to.
Come on, listen to the words. Or read them. Turn it up just a tiny bit.
Be filled with strength and wisdom.
The battles of the day. You need strength and wisdom. Comes through prayer.
I clearly heard him say, I miss my time with you.
This is a love song from God to you guys.
Those moments together, I need to be with you each day. And it hurts me when you say you're too busy trying to serve me.
You're trying.
But how can you serve me?
But how can you? When your spirit man is empty.
There's a longing in my heart, wanting more than just a part of you. It's true. I miss my time with you. What will I have to offer? How can I truly care? My efforts have no meaning when your presence isn't there.
That's why you don't enjoy life. You enjoy life if you're in the presence of God.
If I take time,
it takes time, the time that God has given to you.
I'll stay right here beside you, and you'll never have to say.
You'll never have to say.
I miss my time with you. Those moments together, I need to be with you each day. And it hurts me when you say you're too busy trying to serve me. But how can you serve me if your spirit's empty? There's a longing in my heart, wanting more than just a part of you. I miss my time with you. I miss my time with you.
That's the Lord speaking to us. The moments together. God enjoys it too.
You
enjoy it, and He will enjoy it.
Hurts me when you say you're too busy. Is it trying to serve? Your spirit's empty. There's a longing in my heart, wanting more than just a fair part of you. It's true.
I miss my time with you.
It's true.
Let's praise God. He loves you that much. I'm so glad my husband freed me up to do this, start playing music. And the Lord brought that song to my heart. I haven't heard that song in years. And He brought it to my heart to bring it to you. I hope you never forget it, that God wants His time with us. And, you know, and let me just give you this scripture, and I'll give you the three things, and I promise you I'll go real quick with this. But Jesus is still praying. He loves prayer so much that the Bible says it is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us.
Right.
So Jesus loves prayer so much, He's still praying for us.
That's right.
And I'm glad He's praying for us, because over in the Bible in Luke, it talks about Simon. He says, Simon, Simon. He said, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. I'm so glad God prayed for me. Come on, in your darkest hours, Jesus is interceding. Let me give you these three things. I'm closing right now. Prayer that gets results. Number one,
praying to God in the name of Jesus. Just write the scriptures down. John 15, 16. Read them. Read them. So we go to God in the name of Jesus. And he said, you will have whatever you pray about. Say a big amen. Number two, praying with the right intent. In James 4, 2 and 3, it talks about a battle that's going on. Read it. Please read it. And then it says that you prayed, but yet you prayed amiss so that you can just have it, this thing that you're praying about for your own selfish motive that's evil. So prayer that gets results. You have to check your heart. Why am I praying this? Is it just for some self-centered motive that I have, some evil intent? Then that prayer will not manifest if it's not right in God's eyes. I wish I had time to read that, but we have to close. But read it, James 4, 2 and 3. And then number three, prayers that get results. So praying, number one, praying to God in the name of Jesus. Okay? You go to God in the name of his son, Jesus. And then, and that's John 15, 16. Then praying with the right intent. Created me. I love David said that. Created me a clean heart, oh God, and renew the right spirit in me. You know, sometimes we pray, Lord, fire that girl. You know, because she's better at that job than I am. Well, that kind of prayer God doesn't like. And then number three is praying in faith. This is so powerful. I would just wish I did have time for this. But James 5, 13 to 18 and Mark 11, 24. So if you can pray in faith, then you can pray in unbelief. So when you pray in faith, you're trusting God that he will bring it to pass. And no matter what you see, and we're learning faith in this church, no matter what you see, you walk by faith and not by sight. I got to the point, even the 7 years, almost 7 years, with my husband, I would even tell people around me, my daughter knows, to stop saying that. Don't say that. Because I'm walking by faith and not by sight. I'm walking by not what I'm looking at. I'm walking by what I believe. Say a big amen. Let's stand up and praise the Lord. Come on, let's thank God that we can connect with God. It's an honor to be able to go to God in the name of Jesus. Just think about it. We can go to the very throne room of God. We can reach heaven. And that's why when Jesus, his disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he said, I love this. He said, the will be done in heaven as it is on earth. So God's will be done on earth, rather, as it is in heaven. Is earth. Your will be done on earth. And we're the earth, right? Really, we're made from dirt. So as your will be done on this earth, let it be done in heaven. Whereas, am I saying it right? Okay, because you can get it mixed up a little bit, but I'm gonna read it right, okay? So we're gonna get it right here. So it says here, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's powerful. So you have to think about heaven. How is heaven? God is not depressed. He's not all this. And so his will be done. And sometimes I like to say this back. Let's just say it. Say, Lord, let your will be done in my life. As it is in heaven. Will of God be done in my life? As it is in heaven. I will pray first in Jesus' name.